take me through the stages then again. You finally, you worked your way around the country, working in many of the forests.
You see that, when I left the forestry division, then I was finished as an overall forester as such, because I was no longer involved in all the various stages of forestry. I was purely involved in marketing, in buying the timber back from the department for Clondalkin.
And so you had obviously built up a great knowledge
of the timber,
the value of the timber.
Well, the value of the timber. I had to evaluate the value of the timber to put in a tendering price for each lot that I looked at, and hope that it was better than the other fellow.
Yeah.
Because there were people from Bow Waters and Athy, Scariff, Chipboard, the other various mills. There were about five of them set up all over the country at the one time, using the same kind of timber. But Clondalkin was more fussy because they were confined to spruces to make paper. Pines will not make paper in the conditions that, in the paper making conditions that existed in Ireland at that time.
Mm. Talk to me about Saggart and the forestry there.
Yeah, Saggart was a relatively, because I was put in charge of Saggart when there were about 30 men involved. 30 workers, and it was purely at the time continuing to plant more ground coming in. For instance, Crooksling has been planted since I left, and so on, and there was more land added all the time, and a certain amount of thinning of the older parts of the forest took place at the same time as well. They were the main operations, thinning and planting, thinning and replanting.
And the harvesting of timber, when did that happen and how did it happen?
Harvesting has evolved enormously over the years. It's entirely mechanical now. In my time, it was a chainsaw, and you cut the branches with the chainsaw, and you cut the trees into different lengths as required for the purchaser, and so forth. Now, in a lot of cases, when somebody bought timber from the department, a lot of timber that would be marked with paint, the trees that were to be felled were marked with paint right throughout the forest. The contractor who bought the timber felled it himself. In other words, if Clondalkin bought a lot of timber, we had to get a contractor to go in and fell it and trim it and haul it back into the mill. Nowadays, most of that cutting up is done on site with machinery.
And the manhandling and the transport
evolved a good bit. First of all, in my time, when I had started in Clondalkin, it was straightforward lorry, bringing about 20 tons of timber in 6 foot lengths into the mill. Eventually, and I was sent abroad to Scandinavia and to Germany to see the type of machinery that was being developed. There was machinery introduced, first of all, into the yard in Clondalkin with grabs that would grab the timber out of the stacks mechanically rather than physically and into the debarker to take the bark off. We purchased what was known as a poke lane crane, for to do that by crane work rather than by hand. The lorries became equipped with a smaller version of a grab holder as well to load in the forest onto the truck rather than the men lifting the logs up. It is so hard and so heavy and wet, and that labour was all taken out by means of hydraulic mechanical lifting.
Mm-hmm. But all of this, of course, happened in your lifetime.
Lifetime. Yeah. Since then, there has been further development. Like, instead of going in and cutting a tree with a chainsaw, you cut it from a crane, with a big knife that actually cuts into the butt like that, fells the tree, and with the same machine, you cut off the branches and cut it into whatever lengths are required on roadside, and there the mechanical trucks can come in and load mechanically again, everything mechanical. That's the present position. And the loading is not 20 tonnes anymore, it's 40, because you bring a trailer behind the lorry.
Yes, but that's now. But bring me back to those days. These must have been really hard men to do that work.
They were hard men, yes. There's no doubt about that at all.
Yes, the physical lifting and shifting, but
and the payment was by the ton. It wasn't by the week.
Mm. Was there a skill involved in the cutting and the cleaning?
Well, to a certain extent, I'll tell you, it had to be safety was a big thing. But as regards the actual skill, no, I wouldn't say so. No.
Yeah, but was there a way of cleaning the branches manually?
In the old days, you just ran up the side of the tree. You didn't cut. You couldn't go back down against the grain. That was all there was to it, as regards debranching. Yeah,
yeah. Your responsibilities as soon as you reached the mills, you used to go out and inspect the forest, the trees.
First of all, I looked at the lot of timber that was available for sale when it was standing and decided whether it was suitable for Clondalkin or not. It may have carried a large amount of what I would call saw log, which is more suitable to a sawmill than a pulp mill because of the diameter. If it was heavily laden with that, I didn't touch it. If it was only a small percentage, I would buy it and sell the residue of super quality timber that could be too good for making pulp.
Right. Who were you dealing with in the department?
He's dead, God rest him. Charlie Tucker was the marketing manager, and I used to contact him whenever it was necessary. But normally, he would send out to me a list of timber that was available for sale in the next 3 weeks, and I would indicate to him then which lots I would be interested in, maybe 4 or 5 lots out of 20. And he would send me down a breakdown of those lots, which gave me a bigger insight into the different qualities of the different areas. And then I would, taking the distances into account and everything else, I would strike a price for that in my head. I'll tender so much. And hope you'd be better than the other fellow, you know.
So it was all down to you, really.
It was down to me to buy the timber or not. I would go out. I would go out on the train of a morning and spend £100,000 in the 1960s.
And did you have that freedom from the management
that? I had that freedom. Yeah, I had that freedom.
And so your relationship with Dr. Cusick, is it, or
good? Good.
Yeah. And coming from the other side, then the government.
I had to go back to the government then.
Yes,
having been faded away from them.
Yes,
This is what I'm tendering.
Yes,
you sent it in by post. You didn't have a face-to-face tendering or that kind of thing. But you could ring up on the final day when all the tenders were supposed to be in. Did I get that lot, or did I not? And you'd be told that.
Would you?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And who were your competitors?
Bow Waters and Atai, Scariff Chipboard, there was a few more. Waterford. Oh, they were big, yeah. The Waterford Chipboard. But they're mostly gone. And in the meantime, there are other board factories have come into County Leitrim. And different places, and some of the others have faded away. But there were about 5 board mills across the country. All of them weren't as fussy about the kind of timber that they took in as regards to species and so forth as Clondalkin were. Clondalkin were very fussy, spruce only.
Yeah. Talk to me about quality, or not the quality, but the quantity.
When I started in Clondalkin, it was in the order of 300 to 400 tons a week being used. When I finished up in 1980, 2,000 a week, 2,000 tons.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of timber. And being drawn in at the one time from every county in Ireland except Donegal.
And
I would have timber bought in every county.
Hmm.
I would have a residue, had a map of Ireland up on the wall and pins on it showing the tonnage that was still available, purchased within these forests all over the country. And anybody could come into my office and look at the wall and see what timber we had on reserve.
This must have been a great time in Ireland for timber growing, for trees and for...
Well, there was a push on at the time. Blowick was the Minister for Forestry. And he set out a programme of 25,000 acres per annum to be planted. And that was going ahead full stop. Yeah. And that was big, as taking into account that we were starting from a baseline of 2% of the land area under trees in 1900.
And the employment it would have given?
The employment was good. I think it was something like an overall 2,000. And the employment, of course, as regards harvesting, was contractual.
And the knock-on effect to other businesses as well.
Oh, yes. Sure. The lorry people, the fuel, oh, yeah. The knock-on was big, yeah.